Good morning, everyone. So good to be here today. So thankful to God for this wonderful day of life that He's blessed us with. And so good to see all of your smiling faces here today. We're glad to be able to rejoice in our God together and sing as we have and think about His goodness, His grace and mercy and all the good things that He has provided to us. We're the most fortunate people in the world. And it is a blessing to be a child of God and to have what we have in Him. Hope that you recognize that this morning and that you're thinking about that as we have participated in the good things that we've done so far today. I want to encourage you this morning to take out your Bibles, follow along with us as we study from the Word of God today. That is, our sole intent is to preach from that Word, to speak the words that God spoke, and to preach the things that He has delivered to us through His wonderful gospel. I hope that we can do that today. I want to make mention that if you happen to have missed last Sunday's sermon, we had a summary of our work that we're involved in here together, and that sermon is online. That's under the members section. There were some financial things and maybe some personal items that were in that lesson that that we wanted to put in the members section. So please look for that, if you will, if you missed that, and bring yourself up to date on the evangelistic work that this congregation is doing. I encourage you to do that. That also gives me a window to say that if you don't have access to that because you're not a member of this congregation and you would earnestly desire to do that, we would encourage you to talk to someone about that desire and to make that known to someone. We'd love to talk with you further about that. This is a group of people that I love very much and appreciate, and a good group of loving people, and thankful to be a member of this group. One other thing that I would like to mention before we begin, and that is that our time for our singing is swiftly approaching. We've been encouraging everyone to be involved in our singing. That's going to be in less than 2 weeks now. Want to continue to mention that. That's a Friday night, folks, and I'm excited about that. I hope that you are as well. We had the opportunity to visit with some brethren at Westside yesterday, and they indicated that a fair number of them would be coming. We've heard from a number of others that will be coming, and I hope that our group on a Friday night will be here to encourage one another to participate in that. I'd love to have 100% participation in that event. I think it will be an encouragement, so please be a part of that. Make your calendars ready for Friday the 18th of May. Well, have you ever been just really embarrassed by something that you've done? I know that I have on numerous occasions, and I'm not going to delineate those examples of that because that would be embarrassing for me to do that. But I certainly have, and as often as I have to open up my mouth, that's bound to happen, that you embarrass yourself in one way or another. Sometimes those things are rather mundane. Sometimes those things are innocent. But on other occasions, those things are much graver in nature and carry a greater consequence and significance. You know, in our world, it seems like, when we're talking about those things that are of greater importance, that we don't see a lot of embarrassment anymore. We don't see a lot of red faces. We don't see a lot of people that are blushing because they've done something that they regret. That is a lost art in our society. The ability to feel as if we are embarrassed because of our behavior. Now, it's just kind of anything goes. And really, we don't see a whole lot of that anymore. I think that God created us to do that. God made us that way. He made us to blush. He made us to feel a sense of shame and embarrassment. And yet it seems as if oftentimes people do not experience that as they should. In Genesis 2 and verse 25, Moses says that Adam and Eve were naked, but that they were not ashamed. They were naked, but they were not ashamed of that because sin had not entered into the world. And they were in that relationship together. They were together. And that wasn't a criticism of them that they were naked and not ashamed. But rather it was a statement of a lack of sin that was in the world. When sin came into the world, that's when shame entered into our existence. Where there is sin, there is shame. There should be. We certainly see that very early in the Scriptures. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 15, Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 15, Jeremiah says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall at the time I punish them. They shall be cast down, says the Lord. The consequences of their failure to be able to be embarrassed, ashamed, to be able to blush, those consequences were heavy, weren't they? And God says you'll fall because of that. Because of your inability to feel, because of your inability to recognize sin, that you will be cast down. And we live in a similar time. As Jeremiah, when we think about the elements of that society, that's the society that we live in. And kids don't have a sense of shame in the schools for the things that are being talked about and the things that are being discussed. There is no ability to blush anymore. And that's proven by social media, where anything is posted and everything goes. And there is no sense of shame. And the warning of 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2 rings true today, that there would be some whose conscience will be seared with a hot iron. Zephaniah speaks of a similar time in chapter 3 and verse 5, when the unjust knows no shame. This morning, for a few minutes together, I want for us to look at a few things related to that, and to kind of look at that idea of shame together. That there are some things that ought to cause us embarrassment and some other things that ought not to cause us embarrassment. And sometimes we have those mixed around. And sometimes they're opposite in order, as they should be. But there are some things that ought to cause us shame and others that should not cause us shame. And so I want to look at that together this morning, just in the time that we have. There are some things that ought to embarrass Christians, that we ought to be ashamed about. And one of those things is that we ought to be ashamed of our past life. You can see right now that our PowerPoints can be a little off based on some last-second changes there. But our past life of sin ought to embarrass us. Look at Romans chapter 6 in that regard. Romans chapter 6. There was a time when I was enslaved to sin. And a time in which I lived in shame. Time in which my past life and my conduct that I'm embarrassed to talk about. And I'm thankful by the grace of God that I am not that person anymore. You know, God has made a way for us. In Romans chapter 6, He speaks of that. And He speaks of that former life. And it's a life that we ought to be ashamed of. And there may be differing degrees of that, certainly, for each individual. But it ought to be something that causes us great angst when we think about where we were. Thankfully, we're not there anymore if we're in Christ. But those things ought to shame us. And we ought to have no desire to be there anymore. Romans 6 and verse 20, he says, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You couldn't give me anything to go back to that life. I'm ashamed of that life. You couldn't give me anything. There's nothing you could convince me to take or that's worth it to go back there again. I would never do that. Because what I have now is so good in Christ. And I'm ashamed that I ever found myself there. In Ephesians 2 and verses 11 and 12. Ephesians 2 and verses 11 and 12. There was a time in which we were without Christ, aliens and strangers. And he says in verse 12, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. To go back and to wallow in the mire. My little brother, one of my little brothers, just got a pig. He just got a potbelly pig, and it's in the house, and it's living with him. Now, that's not the kind of pig that we're talking about. We're talking about one of the ones like Josh has that gets out there and gets in the mud and rolls around in it. Why would we ever, upon leaving that and becoming a Christian and finding in him peace and hope, return to that? Well, I'd be ashamed of that. Or as he talks about in 2 Peter 2 and verse 22, this awful picture of a dog. And those of us that have dogs know, and we love them, but they can be filthy animals. As one that would go back and that would return to its own vomit. A horrible picture, but that's the picture that he wants for us to understand. Titus 3 and verse 3 says, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Those were our lives before, and I suppose the question ought to be, what do our lives look like now? Do they look different than that? Have we changed from that? We altered our conduct. Jeremiah 3, verses 1 through 3, talks about sexual sin. And in that context, he talks about the failures of the flesh and the fact that they were accepting of that. They were not shamed by that. And that they had become, as a result of their conduct, that shame had gone away because they had done it so many times. Habakkuk 2, 15 and 16 talks about becoming drunk with alcohol and the shame that can produce as a result of that. We ought to be ashamed of that kind of conduct. And I understand what Paul says about forgetting the things which are behind. And certainly he did that. But he remembered the reality of that while forgetting the appeal of that. And he recalls the pain of all of that, but forgetting the weight of the guilt that he carried. So our past life of sin ought to cause us embarrassment. But here's something else that ought to cause us embarrassment, and that is our lack of Bible knowledge. And our sometimes inability to be able to answer the most simple of questions. The most fundamental and basic things that yet we do not understand. And if you have been a Christian for 10, 20, 30 years and cannot answer the most fundamental of Bible questions and are a babe in knowledge, you ought to be ashamed. We all ought to be ashamed. You know, as we look back, and Darren's been talking about this a little bit in this class, it's a wonderful class on evidences, and I would encourage you to be a part of that class. But he's talked about some of the codexes and the Bibles that we have, some of the scrolls that we can find. You know, people didn't have those things in their homes. Very rarely would you find people that actually had something like that they could read. The Ethiopian eunuch obviously did, and there may have been others that had some access to that, but not with the common ability that we have. And yet that book sits on a shelf, and it gathers dust, and maybe we wipe it off on Sunday morning in order to come and hear a message from God's Word. In Hebrews chapter 5, he says, at this point, you ought to be teachers. That no longer should you be as a baby, needing the most fundamental of things, and needing milk, you're unskilled. And he says, you ought to be ashamed of that. And we should be ashamed of that. finish this sentence. Finish this sentence. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And if we're not reading, and if we're not studying, and if we're not sitting those kids down on occasions and talking to them about spiritual things and teaching the lessons, we will be destroyed. And we're seeing that in the brotherhood, I think, on a larger scale because of a failure to appeal to the Word of God and get into the Word of God and study that the way that we should. We ought to be ashamed if we're not taking advantage of that. And Hosea talks about that in Hosea 4 and verse 6, the passage that we just mentioned. And while certainly idolatry was the problem, they were idolatrous because they didn't love the Word of God enough. They would have never worshipped an idol if they had truly known and practiced what they should. And never do the things that they did without that. And unfortunately, we see in them this shameful behavior that they should have known better about. And we ought to be embarrassed if we are a Christian and yet we're not walking in faith. And the fact is that we know better. Look over at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3 and verse 15. Revelation 3 and verse 15. I ask again the question, are we naked? Are we naked or are we fully clothed? What's our appearance when it comes to the eyes of God? In Revelation 3 and verse 15, He says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. He's not speaking literally there. He's speaking figuratively as to their spiritual condition. And he says, I'm looking at you and I'm seeing that you are exposed as being naked because you just don't love me with the kind of heart that you should. Our lives ought to look different. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 11 and 12, Ephesians 5 and verses 11 and 12. Paul says here, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. And maybe some of your versions say it's a disgrace. But you wouldn't know it based on some of the Facebook posts and based on some of the Instagram posts that I see from time to time of people that claim to be Christians, of things they ought to be ashamed of things that ought not to even be mentioned, not to mention posted in a public setting. And I'm not thinking of anybody in particular here, but I'm saying that I've seen that on a broad scale. And maybe I am speaking of someone here, but not in a particular sense that I know of. But that ought to cause us shame. That ought to be something that we're ashamed of and that we're embarrassed by when we see that kind of thing. And I'm embarrassed sometimes by the church of our Lord that sometimes we see those kinds of things. Now, very quickly, I want for us to turn our attention to some things that, if you will, we ought not to be embarrassed by. Are you embarrassed to carry your Bible? Are you embarrassed to let that be seen by others? at school to carry that book, or as you're going into Starbucks to carry your Bible, to let that be seen, to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. We ought not to be embarrassed by that or ashamed of that in any way. And we have in our society numerous opportunities almost on a weekly basis to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. People are begging us to be ashamed. They're hoping beyond measure that we will be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, that we will not speak up. And we find ourselves very oftentimes on the other side of moral issues, and our young people certainly understand that, where we're always on the other side of that coin, at school, at work, even sometimes among friends and family, that we're always standing alone. But stand and catch your breath on Sunday as you come together with people of like precious faith, and on Wednesday to bolster your faith in Christ. And is it embarrassing for us to say that I believe what the Bible says? And I believe it to be the Word of God, unequivocally. I accept it wholeheartedly. And I stand by it, Mark chapter 8 and verse 38, that I'm not ashamed of the truth. That I am not embarrassed to suffer for that. That if that means that I would be persecuted, then bring it on. Because I'm ready. I love my God to the point of death. And I'll be ready to suffer that. And I am not ashamed, 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, to be called a Christian. And I'm not ashamed to stand by someone else that's being hurt because they are. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 16. To love God and to love His people unashamedly. Sometimes we're maybe ashamed, and this ought not to embarrass us, by brethren of low estate, by people that are different than us. We don't look the same. And that ought not to be a problem for us. That we don't occupy the same social state, or we don't look alike, or we don't talk alike, or we don't dress alike, or whatever the case may be. We've got a pretty eclectic group of people here, which I'm thankful for. And we don't all look alike, and we're not alike. Not that that would matter if we did. But I'm thankful that we're accepting of all people that would put on Christ in baptism and not be Jew, nor Greek, nor male, nor female, just simply be a Christian. And we're accepting of that, and we want that. And if you're here and you're looking for that, you're in the right place. That's what we wholeheartedly desire. And to not be a respecter of persons. And the idea of behind that phrase, respecter of persons, literally carries the idea of a beholder of faces. I'm not looking at that. I'm not looking at the face. I'm not looking at the body. I'm not looking at the clothes. I'm not looking at the car, the house. I'm looking at the soul. And that's all that matters. And as we mentioned in our class on Hebrews on Wednesday, we're all from the same Father, aren't we? We're all from the same Father. And so we ought not to be embarrassed by that. And certainly, lastly, if you will, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. One thing I don't want to be ashamed of is myself. When I stand before God in judgment, when we stand before His throne, will we blush? Will that be the time when our face is red, when we're embarrassed beyond measure and we blush because we cannot stand before Him, because we know that we haven't lived right, because we know that we haven't done right, because we know that we haven't loved Him? And is that the point at which that we will blush and that we will be ashamed? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, he says, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. I hope that we can stand in confidence before Him, knowing that we have lived a life that is in accordance to what He's asked us. That we can stand before Him knowing that we have sought His will and that we've looked for that with our whole heart. I'd like to close with Psalm 83 this morning. Psalm 83. How are you going to feel to have the thoughts of your heart revealed? What a shame that it will be if we're not prepared the way that we ought to be. Remember that story of the virgins whose lamps were not ready? They were not prepared for that. And the shame that they experienced in that moment of not being ready to see the bridegroom and not being able to go in and to have that joy. What a tragedy that is. And so we ask the question this morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, don't you want to be forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ? That you not experience that shame any longer. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to live with your head bowed low and carrying the weight of that sin upon your shoulders. That does not have to be the case. You can be forgiven. And you can live a life of joy, and you can hold your head high, and you can smile and be thankful to God. Are you ashamed of your former life or of your current one? Psalm 83, verses 16 through 18. We're going to extend the invitation to anyone that has need this morning to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Or if you have need of the prayers of this congregation, having been obedient to the Lord, but not having lived the way that you should, we want to encourage you to do what's right and to, if you have need, make that known publicly this morning. Psalm 83, verses 16 through 18. The psalmist says, "Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek your name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and dismayed forever. Yes, let them be put to shame and perish, that they may know that you, whose name alone is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth." Won't you come? I'll stand.